Good morning, and welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil.
All right.
Woo! Did you see the timing I had on that?
That was pretty good, Lucas.
Perfect. I don't even know.
I bet you couldn't do that again.
I can't, but God can.
Yeah!
Welcome, everybody, to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. I'm Lucas.
And I'm Phil.
And you have stumbled upon the Father's Day special.
FDS.
We got to check these acronyms before you just start shouting them out, Phil. I don't know if that means something. Anyway, it's a very special episode we have planned for you. Why?
Yeah, because
every episode is a special episode.
Special, special, special.
But yeah, special. This is the Father's Day special. So shouts to my dad, Big Steve. We love you.
Shouts to my dad, posthumously. He has passed away. I know we're laughing. My dad, it's been a long time. Love you, Dad. My dad was great. And it's happy Father's Day. And I actually have a son who is a dad also.
That's awesome.
Which makes me a papa.
Grandpappy Phil!
Yeah, which I love. Love being a grandpa.
Just on that, not to make light of a serious situation, but if you've ever, you were a Parks and Rec fan as well. And so I love the episode where they're interviewing Andy to be a police officer. And he's like, let's say a situation, you pull over someone and you walk up to the window and it's your dad. What do you do? He goes, well, first thing I do is I go, Dad, where have you been? I thought you were dead. And then I'd ask him, where's my baseball glove?
Andy, that's a great character.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah. Anyway. Sort of the best and worst in all of us.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, what is the best thing you had to eat this week, my friend Lucas?
Well, I'm just going to say, I haven't actually eaten this week yet, but my birthday is coming up. So by the time this is recorded, I will have eaten this, extricated it, all of the things. So for my birthday, every year I ask for the same thing from my wife. She cooks me, it's this Chinese chicken dish. It takes a long time to prepare, but it's almost like a sweet and sour chicken, but it's dipped in cornstarch and fried and then baked in the sauce with all sorts of onions and peppers and everything. And you put it over rice and then I have an egg roll. And then her mom makes me a cheesecake and it is amazing. Actually, usually Tori uses her mom's recipe to make me a cheesecake and it's wonderful.
So it's your standard birthday meal.
My standard birthday meal.
That's,
it's wonderful.
That's
I eat
awesome.
Way too much. I lay in my bed afterwards like, oh, that was so good.
You know, that's I don't know if I envy you. This is a place where you and I are different. Generally, special occasions, the thing I want is something from a restaurant. That's you, but you, a lot of times these things that are special occasions, it's something Tori makes for you or something your mom makes or somebody makes for you. It's homemade. That's cool. I'm not that guy.
And that's okay. I also love to go out to eat, and like this weekend we're going to go get some barbecue in Wellston at the Butcher Stand. I've heard it's amazing, so we're taking a biker trip for Father's Day. So.
I've not been to the Butcher Stand,
so I've heard it's like top notch barbecue.
Yeah.
So I'll let you.
Yeah. Know. All right. Well, that's exciting, and you got a motorcycle.
Yeah, we're all.
We haven't really talked about
trip.
This on the pod.
No, yeah, I bought a Honda.
By the way, pod is what we in the industry call a podcast.
For all of you listeners who didn't know, if you're listening to a podcast, you're in the industry.
No, so you got a motorcycle. We haven't talked about that.
It's a little Honda Rebel 300, which is the smallest size of motorcycle.
Whee! So,
yes, it's a ton. It's a blast. Its name is Darth Small. So it's red.
It's
black,
not
red.
A mini bike though. You see these guys riding along on the mini bikes with the NAMI wheels.
That's a different thing.
The little fat mini. Yeah, that's hilarious. The guys riding around the neighborhood.
Yeah. So technically, too, those are actually a different. So you, if you have your motorcycle license, you can drive those legally.
Yeah.
But you have to have a different, like a smaller license. If you go test on one of those, you can't drive a full size motorcycle.
You can't drive a grown up motorcycle.
Yeah, you gotta stay on your little.
Yeah. I don't think I should have a motorcycle. I want one of those things with the two wheels in the front.
Yeah.
Because I'm old.
Yep.
And
true.
I'm there, aggressively
those are,
built.
Those are cool.
Yeah.
Aggressively built.
So, do you have also a dad story? this week. Or did I?
You've got the dad story. Dad stories with Philip.
I forgot. What was it? Oh, I know what it is.
Yeah.
I know what it is. This is a little bit of a departure. Generally, the dad stories are sort of like funny, like wild, something that happened. This is a little more on the heartwarming side. It's just kind of
dad stories with Philip.
I don't know. Most of the people who listen know me. They know both of us or one of us personally. But some may not know that I have been all my life since I was a teenager, a songwriter. I write songs. No one sings any of my songs, but I like to write songs. I've had a moderate, tiny level of success with that.
Just a couple Grammys.
Yeah, I won a little local award here. But I love writing songs. I compulsively write songs. I teach songwriters. It's one of the things I really enjoy doing. But as in everything that I taught, you know, I've taught guitar lessons. I teach voice lessons. I've taught songwriting. My wife teaches piano. Now all the kids took piano lessons at one point, at least for a minute, from my wife. None of them have taken guitar lessons. And now my middle son has taken some voice lessons from me. I've helped my daughter a little bit with singing. But my oldest son never took guitar lessons from me. But what he did is he learned to play guitar while he was back in his bedroom and I was teaching other people in the other room. So he would learn while I was teaching someone else.
Take that,
and,
Dad.
And yeah. And so Ben, my oldest, who is 30 now, is a great musician. I just consider him a really, really exceptional guitar player, drummer. And he had written a few songs before. He's recently gone through some pretty difficult stuff in his life. And as you know, that kind of stuff tends to stir up creative juices in us a lot of time. Mm-hmm. If you're not a creative person, you may not know this. If you've ever listened to Adele or Taylor Swift, you know.
Yes, exactly. Read the Psalms.
Read the Psalms. That creative stuff a lot of times comes from pain, comes from difficulty in life. And so my son has started writing some songs, and dang, if they are not really, really good. And that's my dad's story. I'm just so dang proud. He's really writing some good stuff. And so I'm just, that's it. I'm just proud.
That's awesome, Phil.
That's me. Yeah. So, couldn't be prouder anyway, you know, couldn't be prouder of all three of my kids anyway, but you know, stuff like that, just makes you, it's awesome. And as your kids grow up, you'll have the same thing happen. They'll start doing stuff that you did, but better.
Yes.
And you're like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I, cause you still feel like you did that in a way. I made that person.
Right. Yeah. You live vicariously through them and make sure they accomplish all the things you didn't. Is that the moral of the story?
Yeah. And you've pushed them as hard as you can. No matter what it does to your relationship or to their internal psyche.
Or what they want.
That's how you are a dad. Which is, interestingly enough, this is the Father's Day special. So now you know how to be a dad. You just push and live vicariously through your kids.
Yeah, my sister-in-law, Zoe, she was watching. Shouts to Zoe. I think she listens. She was watching, I think it was Kim's Convenience. Which is a show on Netflix.
Sitcom.
Yeah, sitcom. Yeah. But they were, it was the older Asian parents were talking, and he was like, you know, but we'll just keep going. If you're mean, they'll be keen. Anyway.
Yikes. Yes. So. But that is the opposite of what we really want to say today.
Yeah. So
we want to talk about fatherhood, our father image.
Yeah.
Father image as in our image of God.
You've heard of sharper image, but now father image. No, but I think, so this is brought up interestingly, just again from some spiritual conversations and, but just coming into Father's Day and thinking about like our relationship with God and as our father and what that looks like and how shaped that is. by our relationship with our earthly father. And however great your earthly or not great your earthly father was, they're all flawed and they're never perfect. And there's,
we are all flawed.
Absolutely. Sorry. We, but, yeah. But it's like, it's a picture, but it's not a perfect one.
Yeah.
And I think that seriously affects our relationship with God and seeing him as our father and what that does to us. So, I mean, I don't know, Phil, what do you think?
You know, I first of all, I just want to apologize to all three of my kids. You know, you want to be, and why do we do this? You want to be the perfect father.
Yeah.
You want to do everything right because you love your kids. That's why we do it.
Well, I was going to say, what's the opposite? You like, right. You want to what? Fail?
Eh,
I don't really care.
It's an off day. It's an off day.
You don't, yeah. You want, and you want to just be perfect. You want to do everything right. And, you know, here is this perfectionism that we have, and it really just stems out of love. I want, to look back at, to look at my kids as they grow up and to think I did everything for them, correctly. And it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, you fail, you give them what you have, and sometimes you just don't have much to give.
Yeah.
And I, you know, as my kids were growing up, my kids are all adults now, they all out of the house, living their own lives. My daughter just got married and,
empty nester.
I am an empty nester for real. I am bona fide empty nester. And the reality is it's a mixed bag. Their experiences with their dad, mostly positive, they would say. You know, my oldest son, who grew up probably during more of my struggles with depression, some of my own personal dysfunction and struggles as a, you know, 30 something year old, dad. He even says, I had a happy childhood. You know, I'm thankful for that. And a lot of that is the grace of God.
Yeah.
You know, so, my daughter who, you know, her growing up, she's 7 years behind my oldest son. And, you know, she had a little bit better version of me, in some ways than, because the Lord had done some really powerful things in my life. Still not perfect, you know, but, I look at all of them and I say it, you know, people always compliment us at how great our kids are. Mm. And I'm like, well, I can tell you there's some things we did right, but it's just God.
You know,
it's the grace of God. And maybe that's, you know, maybe the big thing we did right is we trusted and we continue to trust in the grace of God and trust in him. So I don't know what the question you asked was. I have no idea. But I really enjoyed saying that.
That's what this is all about, Phil.
We're just talking about being a dad.
Yeah.
What would you ask? Did you ask me an actual question?
Well, I think I asked you what do you feel? Well, you know, what do you think about that? I was just talking about like kind of the way our earthly fathers.
Oh, yeah. That's our subject.
But I would just say, I think for me, you know, I've been a dad for only just a little over 3 years, and I've loved every second of it. But I may be a little bit closer than you on the other side of kind of being under my father. And I would say the same thing, where I think I had a pretty good childhood. You know, I had a pretty good view of my dad. And I think becoming an adult and seeing your dad, it makes a big difference. As almost, you see them as human, and I've gotten to see my dad and more human like than I did growing up. Because as a kid, like, your dad's your hero.
Yeah.
And so once you start seeing cracks in your hero's armor, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I think that's like a hard part of what if you put. You hold your dad up almost as an idol a lot of times as a kid. You know, my dad could beat up your dad and all of these things. And my dad, my dad's awesome, you know, and growing up, like, he was the biggest, strongest dude I knew, you know, and he was great. And so I think, like, again, like, that can change your view though, too, but the good part about God is that you get up to his armor and it's all seamless and amazing, you know,
right.
There's no failing and there's just more and more, But I think sometimes we allow it to warp our view when we see our dad and start to see some of the chinks in their armor.
Yeah.
And see some of their failings. And like you said, like I haven't gotten to the point where I've screwed up too bad yet. It's coming. Like there's some things that I failed my daughters and my son already in different ways. But for the most part, I feel like I've been trying to be the best dad possible to them.
Of course. Yeah.
But I know that they're going to come out on the other side of this with some trauma, right? Like they're going to come out of this with some failings from their dad because that's,
it's the world we live in. There is way too much moral gravity in this world to come away without ever having dropped the ball, so to speak.
Right.
There is just way too much moral gravity. It's just, there's too much. It's a, the thing where the things you walk through and the things are swinging and hitting you. What do you call that?
Oh, I was going to say,
you call it a, there's a name for it. Anyway, it's too much of one of those. I know 75% of you who are listening are saying, the word that I cannot think of, I will think of.
The other 25% are like, what are you even talking about?
Obstacle course, there's just too much happening for you to do it perfectly. But so I have a question, and maybe this is, I don't know, this may be good, maybe bad, but it won't be boring. And that is that, so let's look at our dads, and let's say, like, what's maybe the best thing that our dad did that's helped us most to see God as Father? That has, you know, there are probably some things that we have to sort of look past in our fathers to see God as the perfect Father. What's the best thing your dad did? I don't know if you could say the best. I'll say one good thing. I'll start, and maybe, I don't know if this is the best thing. I know one good thing my dad did for me and for my sister. And I watched him do it for my oldest son before my dad passed away. And a little bit my, middle son, Samuel. He passed away when my middle son was not very old. But, my dad, a part of his personality, one of his great gifts was the ability to celebrate you as a person.
Hmm.
You know, I still hear my dad's voice saying my name. Well, he called me Flip. It's because my name's Phil, Philip, Flip. He called me Flip. And I still hear him say, hey, Flip, you know, when I come in the room, when I come home, I still hear that celebration of who I am. And he did that. He had a way, and especially with the grandkids, you know, because that's what you do as a grandpa. You celebrate those kids. Mm-hmm. And I really watched him do that. And so I think I have an ability. Maybe it's one of the reasons I'm a worship leader besides the whole music thing. But, you know, that thing. But maybe that helped me to be a better worship leader, because when I walked into the house, when my dad was there, if he was feeling okay, now he struggled with, he was bipolar, as we know it today, they called it manic depressive in those days. But when he was okay, when he was healthy, I mean, he just had a gift for making you feel like you were the king of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that was a really good one. The inconsistency, God's not inconsistent.
Right.
You know, that's one we kind of have to get past. But what about you? Do you have something that your dad is maybe especially good at, or just one of the things he's good at?
I remember just from my dad growing up, but my dad wanted us to work hard, and he wanted us to be passionate. And so I just remember one time as a teenager, and it wasn't like this great thing, but my dad was like, well, what are you passionate about, right? Like, because I took piano lessons, I played football, I wrestled, I was in band, I did this and everything.
Right.
He's like, well, what are you passionate about? Like, what do you actually care about? Like, right. Like you do all this stuff, but I just, like, pushing for passion, and like, we worked hard. And I think that's something like that reminds me of our Heavenly Father. Not that God's like, hey, just work. But I do think in the Christian life, right, like, we're called to continue to strive even through tough situations and times. And like, that's something from my dad that I can can relate to him just constantly pushing. And like, he was one of my football coaches growing up. And I remember one time, me and this other kid, we had gotten in trouble for something in practice. Like, we had done the drill wrong or whatever. And so you run a lap. And I just remember it was close to the end of practice. We were like, hey, what if we walked the lap? That way, by the time we got back, practice would be over.
Yeah.
And so we got back, and I think, you know, he was fine because his dad wasn't there, but my dad was the coach. And so he was like, yeah, you got to do that one again. Like, go ahead and run a lap this time.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I just, him pushing that for passion, and that stuck with me. And I think God does, like, I think God's like this, but I do, you know, he desires us, our passion for him.
Yeah.
And I think my dad in that, he never said like, you need to be passionate for God, because he can't command my passion, but that's what it is. And as I've grown older and learned something, I'd say wiser, but I've still got a long way to go to be wise. But I think like that's where he was pushing me to was that passion. Yeah. Whatever I'm passionate about is passionate for the Father. It's an on the way kind of passion.
Yeah. That's good. That's really good. And I think that's a great, very godly characteristic that he is, Jesus, when he talked to people, he always dealt with the heart.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what your dad was doing. He was saying, okay, let's engage fully.
Yeah.
Let's be where we are. Let's engage fully. Let's find a place where you can really engage fully. And, I think God, I think that's a really good one.
And that's, so I got another one.
All right, let's go.
And then you can have another turn. But, just so Tori and I talk a lot, like we're working through making it's like a family ID and having kind of a Lunsford is this, right?
Yeah.
And I think every family has this, whether you've written it down or not, you can tell by the kids, like the way they're like blunts are this way. Like every blunt has these inherent characteristics because it's just what the family values were. So maybe we're working on our family values. But it is growing up, just grateful to my dad. One of the things that's been instilled, and it wasn't ever said, we've talked about being content but never be satisfied, like types where you're.
Yeah.
And I think that's just like my brother, my sister, and I, whatever my parents did, like, we have this confidence to try anything. And then even when we're really bad, we just keep working to be better. And we don't like stop, right? Like there's no like, I'm just really bad, so I'm never going to play. Like you'd take my ball too. But there is this attitude about the whole deal that comes from my parents, from my dad, from my mom, like that I think they did a really good job of instilling this. And it's because I look around and I just thought this is what everybody does, but it's not.
Right.
Like it's not the same thing. Yeah. So there is that like that contentment without being satisfied and going, oh, I'm just fine. Like there's still like a drive to be better and to practice and to do the best. But there's still like at the end of the day, win, lose, draw, like we're still okay. Like this is something that Lunsfords are. Like it's just my brother, sister, and I, and like that's something that I've looked back and intentionally, like I want that for my children.
Yeah.
Like I absolutely want Naomi and Jubilee and Gideon and whatever other kids come my way. So
yeah. Well, they don't just come your way, you.
Oh, how does it work, Bill?
Well, we'll talk later, I guess. Okay. Next on the episode, Hard Conversations with Lucas. My dad, there are several things, but I would say I always remember him saying when I was a teenager, something he said to me a lot. And I think he sensed that I was kind of quiet and I tended to be probably not very confident in myself. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, people thought I was extremely confident as a high school student.
Yeah.
But I think my dad, of course, he knew that I was not, that I was, you know, really wanted to please other people and that I didn't. But he said when I would leave the house to go out, you know, at night with my friends or whatever I was doing, going on a date, he would say, be your own man, Phil. Hmm. Be your own man. And I think I've taken that sometimes maybe too far in my life, that I've said many times, I think I'm a little bit maybe pathologically independent. I think sometimes I just don't want to be like anybody else.
Right.
Which doesn't, you know, of course it doesn't show in the way I dress or any, you know, I don't do anything crazy wild. It was just like sometimes I just get irritated with the status quo, with things being, you know, having to follow the crowd, you know, it's, and I think I do that more with beliefs and with thoughts. And I just am like, I tend to question, I tend to go along with the guy. You remember The Bucket List, the movie, The Bucket List with Jack Nicholson and
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. And Morgan Freeman's character is a Christian-ish theist kind of guy. And he says, you know, 98% of the people in the world believe in God. And can 98% of the people in the world be wrong? And Jack Nicholson's character says, in my experience, 98% of the people in the world usually are wrong. I tend to fall, even though I'm a Christian, I tend to fall on Jack Nicholson's side in that.
Right. You're like, just because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right.
And I tend to be suspicious if everybody goes, if everybody believes that, if that's really popular, is something probably off, which is, you know, a little cynical maybe. But I think it's, I think my dad's example in that was don't just take the world's way.
Yeah.
Don't just follow. Don't follow the crowd. You know, be, think for yourself. Mm. And I think that has been maybe the most valuable gift he gave me on purpose. You know, we give our kids gifts organically, accidentally. We don't know what we're doing. And some of those are the best, I think, because God's doing that through us without our knowledge or interference, you know. But I think on purpose, that may be the best gift he ever gave me to say, be your own man, Phil. And I hope I gave that to my kids. Tell them to think for themselves.
Yeah.
Don't follow. And be aware when you're following.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, that's a good one. You got another one?
I think we're about out of time, Phil.
Okay, man.
Flip.
I had more.
Even, yeah, I was like, I can go all day.
No, I had one really other good one, but I'll
bring it on. Bring it on.
No, I don't remember what it was now.
I was saying, take it quick. 2 minutes. We could. We
quick, 2 minutes. Okay. So, what was it? Doggone it. No, you know what? It's pretty much the same thing because what it did is that the other thing I was thinking was that my dad was an independent thinker. And in some, you know, sometimes I thought he was probably going to hell from the things he said, because we'd have these spiritual conversations and he'd say, well, I'm not so sure about Paul. He was a very independent thinker. He didn't care. He was a pastor who stopped being a pastor. And he was for, we went through a long season where we went to church and he sat home on Sunday mornings because he was just sick of listening to that preacher. Because my dad had a master's in theology. He had studied a lot. He knew what he believed and wasn't afraid to admit, you know, I don't know what I believe about that. So anyway, so it kind of goes along with that be your own man thing. He was an independent thinker.
Yeah, and I think you can see that. You can see that in you, of the not being afraid to say, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And like that's not a common thing for people. Most of the time, we want to have an answer regardless of if we
actually
do.
Evangelicals love certainty.
Yeah.
I don't think Jesus was that big on certainty, broad certainty.
Yeah.
There's very specific things we're very certain about.
Absolutely, we are.
But there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of, I think in the gospel, a lot of trust required. So, yeah.
Well, let me just really quick, let's take the minute of culture here. And what I really want to do right here, because, and maybe some curmudgeonry to start, but one of the things that ticks me off badly, actually, is if you go to a Mother's Day sermon at the church, the Mother's Day, it's always, moms, you're so amazing and wonderful and the best. And then you go to the Father's Day message and it's, listen here, you sack of crap. You suck and be better. Now, here's what I want to do to all you dads out there. You're doing a great job.
You're amazing.
Just keep loving your kids. Hey, keep pointing them to Christ.
Especially if you're there.
Exactly. Be a part of your kids. And this is the deal. There's the thing where it's a joke, but it's like, how could my dad have screwed me up? He wasn't even around. Right? But like, your kids need you. And so
oh, yeah,
they
yeah, yeah.
need you. Like, you are their dad. They awesome. Need you. And so go be a part of their life. Like, leave whatever is stopping you from being a part of their life. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Like, be a part of your kid's life. Love them well. Go support them, whatever they're doing. Like, if they're a part of a dance troupe, like, I don't know if they're like this weird drama club where they snap instead of clap. Like, it's okay. Go to their soccer games, football. Like, love and support your kids. Be there for them. Like, dad, come on. You've got this. You're amazing. God has made you for this purpose. That's why you have children. Like, go yeah. disciple and love them well.
Yeah, you do have to really get a little tired of the Father's Day sermon that's always like
listen,
sort of a downer. Yeah. Moms don't ever get that.
No.
Moms get just praised.
Yeah, praised all the time. And I'm like, I think both people are doing good stuff and screwing up. And it's more yeah. prevalent you see the dad screw ups. And there's yeah.
in I personally think you are a much better father than Tori is a mom.
I don't agree.
I can't believe I just said that. Tori, I'm so sorry, amazing. Tori. I didn't mean it.
Tori, you
I didn't
can,
mean it.
You can kill Phil. I'll hold him down. You punch. I don't agree with whatever was just said by Phil. I want to make that very clear.
You noticed I didn't say that I was a better dad than
yeah.
Bronwyn is.
Bronwyn, I think no, you're a not, much better mom than stupid. Phil's a dad. So we love Bronwyn.
I don't know what's happening now in the background.
Anyway, we love y'all. Dads, you're doing great. Keep going. It's worth it, every second of it. It is worth it.
It is. I have one more final thing, Father's Day thing. If you're going to serve your father breakfast for Father's Day, remember...
Because there is suffering in everything except eating pancakes.
That's right.
All right. We love y'all. Phil, if they have any questions, comment, concern, ideas, something they want, where can they go?
SecondBreakfast777@gmail.com or...
SecondBreakfast777@gmail.com or hit us up in our DMs. Slide in there on Facebook or Instagram. We would love to hear from you. Whatever you've got, we want to know. If you have an idea for a great episode, we'd love to hear, because sometimes yeah, we run out. Our brains think about things too much. We're out.
Yeah. Happy Father's
wait,
Day.
Wait, wait, wait.
Are you going to Father's Day wrap it?
I'm going to try. This is a slow
all
beat.
Right.
Father's Day, you know you got to give some praise. They always talking bad about the dads and telling them they bad. But we know that God put you in kids' life for a reason. Wants to see you raise them up right, disciple them to him. Because we got the perfect father up above. I lost the beat. I lost it. Now, don't know what I'm doing. I'm not really a rapper.
But happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.